What if the secret to professional success wasn't grinding harder, but finding more joy? Joy Baldridge's revolutionary approach to business has transformed countless workplaces, from stress centers into thriving environments where people actually want to be. As a keynote speaker who began her remarkable career by cold calling the White House at age 19 and actually landing a gig there, Baldridge has become the go-to consultant for Fortune 500 companies seeking to boost productivity while reducing burnout. Her techniques have been embraced by celebrities like John Mayer and adopted by government officials, including the deputy governor of the Cayman Islands. What makes this book different from typical business advice is its immediately applicable tools, techniques you can implement today to see results tomorrow. Let's dive into Baldridge's world of practical wisdom that promises to transform not just how you work, but how you experience work. Imagine having a simple technique that could instantly restore your energy levels throughout the day. The Purple Break, developed by Joy Baldridge's father during a 1960s sleep study, is exactly that, a powerful yet underutilized tool for combating fatigue. The science behind it is fascinating. Our eyes contain rhodopsin, visual purple, a protein that breaks down in bright light, causing fatigue. By creating complete darkness for just a few minutes, we can restore this essential compound and revitalize our energy. Baldridge's father discovered this technique and implemented it throughout his day, allowing him to thrive on just 3 to 5 hours of sleep while maintaining extraordinary energy levels for over 40 years. The technique is remarkably simple. Cover your eyes completely, relax, and breathe while counting backward from 15 to 1. Though socially challenging to implement, it looks like you're upset or sleeping on the job. Finding discreet places like restrooms or empty conference rooms makes it doable. Baldridge shares a humorous story about taking a purple break while driving. Pulling over to the roadside, she covered her eyes with her jacket, only to be approached by a police officer who thought she was intoxicated. Rather than taking a sobriety test, she ended up teaching him about rhodopsin and its restorative powers. This technique isn't just about feeling better, it's about performing better. In today's always-on work culture, fatigue costs American businesses $136 billion annually in lost productivity. Instead of reaching for another coffee or energy drink that merely masks the symptoms, the Purple Break addresses the root cause of visual fatigue. By implementing this practice several times daily, you'll notice improved focus, better decision-making, and sustained energy throughout your workday. According to Fortune magazine, flexibility and adaptability are the two essential characteristics for success in this millennium. In a business landscape that changes at lightning speed, those who can pivot quickly and maintain resilience will inevitably outperform those who remain rigid. Baldridge embodies this philosophy with her mantra, "A-fay, all the way, always flexible and adaptable." To demonstrate this concept, she uses Bob, a stretchy yellow stress toy that has become her presentation mascot. Bob perfectly illustrates resilience, how quickly one can bounce back from being stretched to the maximum. The discovery of Bob came through a happy accident. Baldridge had ordered what she thought were smiling yellow figurines for a presentation, but received stretchy toys with embossed faces instead. Initially disappointed, she was ready to return them when her 7-year-old son Wilson provided the perspective shift she needed. He joked that her clients were stretched for time, and suddenly the mishap became a brilliant visual metaphor. Bob has since taken on a life of its own, with Baldridge giving thousands away at her speaking events. Recipients have shared remarkable stories about how this simple toy helped them through difficult situations, from divorce to autism-related travel challenges to therapy sessions. The physical act of stretching and releasing Bob serves as a powerful reminder of our own capacity for resilience. This philosophy extends beyond just handling change. It's about how quickly you can recover from setbacks. When faced with adversity, do you remain stretched out of shape for days, weeks, or months? Or do you, like Bob, snap back quickly and move forward? The business applications are clear. Companies that can adapt to market shifts, embrace new technologies, and pivot their strategies will thrive, while those that resist change will struggle. On a personal level, cultivating this flexibility helps us navigate workplace challenges with greater ease and less stress. As Baldridge provocatively asks, how fast do you snap back when stretched to the limit? Your answer reveals much about your resilience quotient and your potential for long-term success in an ever-changing business environment. Salt the hay, find a way. This Baldridge family motto encapsulates a powerful approach to problem solving that challenges conventional thinking. When faced with the common saying, you can bring a horse to water, but you can't make him drink, Joy's father would add a crucial insight. You can salt the hay. When you salt the hay, the horse gets thirsty and drinks, illustrating that there's always a creative solution if you're persistent enough to find it. This philosophy teaches us that behind every two can'ts, there's a can, but most people never discover it because they give up after the first or second obstacle. The key is shifting from the defeatist mindset of, I can't do this and I can't do that, to the empowering question, what can I do? This simple reframing unblocks the thought process and reveals hidden solutions. The impact of this approach extends beyond personal challenges to organizational problem solving. Baldridge proudly shares how the Honorable Deputy Governor of the Cayman Islands adopted this philosophy in government cabinet meetings, prompting her to send him a large salt shaker as a reminder of creative persistence. This concept pairs beautifully with the PAR approach: prevent, acknowledge, and release for handling negative emotions, particularly worry, anxiety, and fear, WAFs. First, prevent what you can through proactive thinking and planning. When things don't go as expected, acknowledge your feelings directly rather than suppressing them. This acknowledgement triggers an automatic release because facing challenges diminish their power. Together, these frameworks create a powerful problem-solving mindset. When obstacles arise, we can acknowledge our frustrations, release the negative emotions, and then focus on salting the hay, finding creative solutions that others might miss. This approach transforms seemingly insurmountable problems into solvable challenges, fostering innovation and resilience in both personal and professional contexts. Imagine your emotional state as a house where you reside. According to Baldridge, there are four core human emotions: mad, glad, sad, and scared, each representing a different emotional residence. Most people don't live primarily in the house of glad, instead dwelling in scared, mad, or sad. The transformative insight is that we have the capacity to move houses at any moment through conscious choice. This concept becomes particularly powerful when applied to real-life situations. When Baldridge's 10-year-old daughter, Mackenzie, was terrified to go to school because of an unfinished assignment, she was clearly in the house of scared, fearing her teacher would be in the house of mad. By communicating this framework to the school administrator, they arranged for her teacher to welcome Mackenzie with understanding. The result was an immediate emotional shift, as Mackenzie moved from the houses of scared and sad into the house of glad. Another compelling example involves Susan, a woman suffering from severe claustrophobia and acrophobia who approached Baldridge after a keynote presentation. For 7 years, her fears had controlled her life, preventing her from using elevators, traveling by car for more than short distances, or staying in hotel rooms above the first floor. The houses concept gave her a new perspective. She realized she'd been living in the house of scared for too long and that she could choose to move. With Baldridge's support, she gradually conquered her fears, riding an elevator all the way to the 12th floor. Each success brought tears of joy as she successfully moved from the house of scared to the house of glad. Baldridge shares her own experience of cycling through multiple emotional houses when discovering her grandmother's valuable diamond bracelet had been sold at auction after payment notices went to an old address. She moved rapidly from scared about discovering the loss, to sad about losing a family heirloom, back to scared about telling her mother, then to mad about the situation. Surprisingly, her mother's relieved reaction — she'd always worried someone might attack Joy for such a valuable piece — immediately transported her back to the house of glad. Life will inevitably throw us into various emotional houses, but we have the power to declare where our primary residence is. Each house comes with its own challenges, and we end up living where we dwell most. Some people chronically dwell on sad things, while others actively seek things to be angry about. Living in the house of glad requires just as much work as the others. You must fix the roof, pull the weeds, and work at being happy. But when the alternatives are sad, mad, and scared, glad is clearly the preferable choice. To maintain residence in the house of glad, you must pay your RENT, rest, exercise, nutrition, and thoughts every day. Neglected any aspect can lead to eviction from glad into less desirable emotional houses. When tired, tasks take longer and mistakes multiply. Without exercise, sluggishness sets in. Poor nutrition affects your physical state, while negative thoughts poison your mental well-being. For rest, Baldridge recommends incorporating purple breaks throughout your day to restore visual energy and mental clarity. Even brief moments of complete darkness can rejuvenate your system and improve productivity. For exercise, consistency matters more than intensity. Baldridge shares her father's approach. He began running by jogging between mailboxes and eventually attempted a marathon. The key is making exercise convenient, like sleeping in workout clothes to remove morning barriers. Many people feel guilty about not exercising, but movement doesn't need to be complicated. Park farther away, take stairs, or find free YouTube workouts. For nutrition, Baldridge's nutritionist friend Joanne Flynn recommends broccoli and dark greens as the healthiest vegetables, while identifying sugar as evil, more addictive than nicotine or heroin, and responsible for 76 different health problems. Combining protein, which provides sustained energy like a log on a fire, with healthy carbohydrates creates balance. Baldridge shares her personal challenge of giving up sugar for Lent, describing the difficult first 10 days and the eventual energy benefits she experienced. For thoughts, the final and perhaps most crucial component, Baldridge emphasizes being kind to yourself and practicing positive self-talk. She shares the story of Sue at Stop & Shop, who proudly wears her "Damn, I'm good" button despite life's challenges. When asked if she's good, Sue emphatically replies, "No, I'm damn good." Dr. Jonas McAlerney, an emergency medicine physician, validated the rent concept, noting that most emergency room patients have blown the rent by neglecting these four areas. When asked which component was most important, he emphasized the T is the most important part of rent because your thoughts drive everything. Your thoughts determine whether you'll commit to the other components. They make all the difference. To help readers implement this framework, Baldridge provides a comprehensive RENT assessment with specific questions for each component. This structured evaluation helps identify areas for improvement to create a happier, more productive work life by consistently paying your RENT every day. Effective feedback is essential in any workplace, but delivering it can be challenging. The Velvet Hammer technique provides a solution, a communication approach that delivers messages with words that are soft like velvet, yet impactful like a hammer. The technique begins with phrases like "noticed" and "wondering" to open difficult conversations. Instead of accusatory statements like "you're always late," try "I noticed you arrived after the meeting started, and I'm wondering if everything is okay." This approach invites dialogue rather than triggering defensiveness. To close conversations effectively, use "likelihood" and "when" phrasing. Rather than demanding, "send me that report by tomorrow," try, "what's the likelihood you could have that report to me? When do you think would be realistic?" This collaborative approach respects the other person's agency while still establishing expectations. Other Velvet Hammer words include "just" to minimize points, "I just wanted to check in," and "really" as a conversation extender. When someone shares information, responding with a genuinely curious "really?" often prompts them to elaborate without you having to ask multiple questions. This technique works effectively across various contexts, management, sales, and personal relationships when delivering both corrective and positive feedback. It helps avoid what Baldridge calls "spinach on your teeth syndrome," the awkward situation where everyone notices a problem, but nobody mentions it. The Velvet Hammer positions issues as us against the problem rather than me versus you, creating a collaborative atmosphere even during difficult conversations. By framing feedback as observations and questions rather than judgments and demands, it preserves relationships while still addressing important issues. This approach aligns perfectly with understanding different personality types. For instance, factual personalities respond well to precise, accurate feedback, while social types need acknowledgement of their contributions before hearing constructive criticism. The Velvet Hammer can be adapted to each personality type while maintaining its core principles of respect and clarity. By mastering this technique, you'll transform feedback from something people dread to a constructive process that strengthens relationships and improves performance. The soft approach of the Velvet Hammer often achieves what blunt criticism cannot: actual behavioral change and improved outcomes. Understanding personality types revolutionizes how we communicate in the workplace. Baldridge identifies four distinct personality types: social, factual, helpful, and driven, each with their own hot button and language preferences. By recognizing these differences and speaking someone's language, you can build bridges with people you don't naturally connect with. Social types live to be amazing and stand out. They frequently use words like amazing and great, fear rejection or exclusion, and respond well to recognition. To connect with them, tell them they're amazing or that what they've done is amazing. Factuals live to be right and speak a language centered around precision, with words like absolutely, exactly, and precisely. They fear being wrong above all else. To connect with them, acknowledge their accuracy and precision rather than using enthusiastic but vague praise. Helpful types live to assist others and fear being helpless. Their favorite compliment is, "I couldn't have done it without you." To connect with them, allow them to help and acknowledge their assistance. Driven types live to win and use language centered around competition and results. They're focused on outcomes with a "help me win" or "get out of my way" attitude. They fear others' incompetence and use phrases like "what's the point" and "how does that impact the bottom line?" You can identify your own and others' types through vocabulary choices, occupation tendencies, body language, and characteristic sounds each type makes. Socials make a celebratory "yay." Factuals make a reflective "aw." Helpfuls make a sincere "aw." And drivens make an insightful "hmm." Becoming fluent in different personality languages requires practice, just like learning any foreign language. Baldridge recommends practicing with low-stakes conversations first, like taxi drivers or waiters, before attempting with important clients. She shares her own awkward first attempts, like trying to use "perfect" with a factual client when the box wasn't actually perfect, revealing how precisely they view language. In sales contexts, understanding these differences is particularly valuable. Buyers are typically factual types, company heads are usually driven, and gatekeepers tend to be helpful. Since most salespeople are social types, they often struggle to naturally speak the language of decision makers. Awareness of these differences can strengthen relationships and directly impact revenue. Each personality type also responds to different kinds of praise. As a social, Baldridge learned to do compliment translation. When her factual husband says she's right, she tells herself he meant she was amazing. One factual HR director explained that being called amazing meant nothing without specificity about what made him amazing. A sales rep discovered his factual father had been complimenting him his whole life by saying he was right, but as a social, he couldn't hear these as the compliments they were. By understanding these personality languages, we recognize that people aren't difficult, they're just different. When we learn to speak each other's language, relationships improve dramatically, leading to more productive and harmonious workplaces. Do you ever wonder where your time goes or how to successfully balance work and life? Baldridge offers a 7-step strategy to get more done in less time with more success and less stress. There's an expression, "Lose an hour in the morning and you'll spend the rest of the day looking for it." These techniques will help you reclaim your day and create zones of time to make the most of each day. First, decide what is most important to accomplish through self-questioning. What is the one thing I can do to further my success toward this goal? When you ask yourself questions, you get real answers that keep you focused and organized. Making minor changes leads to major impact when setting and achieving goals. Continue self-questioning throughout the day by asking, what's the best use of my time right now? As the day progresses, ask, is this the best use of my time right now? If the answer is no, use a self-command like, stop, get to the priority. Remember, tasks typically take 2 to 3 times longer than you think they will. The red ruler technique helps recover from interruptions faster, the number one time robber. Each interruption typically takes 2 to 15 minutes to recover from, potentially costing 5 hours daily with 60 interruptions. The concept is simple. When interrupted, place a red ruler or any marker on what you're working on. Handle the interruption, then return to where the ruler marks your place. This reduces recovery time to seconds instead of minutes, potentially saving 3 to 5 hours weekly. Zoning involves creating specific time blocks for similar tasks. A phone zone is for making back-to-back calls. An email zone is devoted solely to emails. The rationale is that like tasks done together builds momentum. Schedule these zones as appointments with yourself, treating them as important meetings not to be missed. To get better email responses, try using response requested or reply requested in subject lines. One client reported receiving 60% more replies after implementing this simple change. To overcome procrastination, follow this 4-word process. Look, divide, begin, reward. First, look at the scope of what needs to be done. Second, divide it into doable chunks, tasks you can complete in 2 to 15 minutes. Third, begin with the first chunk. A job begun is half done. Finally, reward yourself for finishing with positive self-talk or a break. Remember that behavior rewarded gets repeated. If you've done a great job and no one's around to recognize your achievement, give yourself praise. Self-praise, when done sincerely, is very motivational and energizing. It fuels momentum and encourages you to continue performing well. By implementing these strategies, you'll transform your relationship with time from one of constant stress to one of purposeful productivity. The key is consistency. Small changes in how you manage your time can lead to dramatic improvements in both your work performance and life satisfaction.
To execute the ideas in this book and create lasting change, select the most useful concepts and create new expectations with them. This leads to positive culture change that benefits everyone in your organization. The formula for success starts with writing expectations for your team culture. Notice when you think they should know better and add these shoulds to your list. Create general expectations in team brainstorming sessions for buy-in and specific expectations in one-on-one meetings. Incorporate golden nuggets like AFA all the way, 4-4-6 breathing, salt the hay, and purple breaks into your corporate culture code. Effective expectations must be written, clear, mutually agreed upon, visible, and evolutionary. Once expectations become habits, they can be replaced with new ones. This shared language creates a positive, productive workplace where employees love the company before customers can. You can incorporate the joy in business vernacular into your workplace to create a powerful shared language. Use shorthand codes like AFA in emails when changes occur, 4-4-6 instead of telling someone to calm down, OGIV when discussing mood fluctuations, purple break after intense meetings, salt the hay when exploring solutions, RENT when checking on well-being, House of Glad to redirect negative emotions, and Bee Stinger when someone needs to let go of something. This shared language reinforces your culture code and creates a more positive, productive environment. It gives team members tools to handle stress, communicate effectively, and support each other through challenges. When everyone speaks the same emotional and productivity language, misunderstandings decrease while collaboration and innovation flourish. The power of this approach lies in its simplicity and immediate applicability. Unlike complex organizational change initiatives that often fail due to their complexity, these straightforward concepts can be implemented immediately with visible results. The shared vocabulary creates a sense of team identity and common purpose that transcends departmental boundaries. As you implement these concepts, remember that consistency is key. Start with 1 or 2 ideas that resonate most strongly with your team, establish them as habits, then gradually introduce others. This incremental approach prevents overwhelm while still creating meaningful change. The ultimate goal is to create a workplace where joy is not just permitted, but expected, where people look forward to coming to work because they know they'll be valued, understood, and supported. In such an environment, productivity naturally increases, innovation thrives, and both employee satisfaction and customer experience reach new heights. The secret to happiness, according to Baldrige, boils down to three essential elements: expectation management, self-acceptance, and flexibility and adaptation. These principles form the foundation for creating joy in both business and personal life. Expectation management involves understanding that disappointment equals expectations minus reality. When we have unrealistic expectations of ourselves, others, or situations, we set ourselves up for frustration. By calibrating our expectations to align more closely with reality, we can avoid unnecessary disappointment while still maintaining healthy standards and goals. Self-acceptance means embracing who you are, including your strengths, weaknesses, and unique qualities. It's about treating yourself with the same kindness and understanding you would offer a good friend. This doesn't mean avoiding growth or improvement, but rather approaching personal development from a place of compassion rather than harsh criticism. As Baldrige demonstrates through stories like Sue with her "Damn, I'm good" button, positive self-talk can transform how we experience challenges. Flexibility and adaptation, the FA all the way philosophy, completes the triad. In a world of constant change, those who can bend without breaking and quickly adapt to new circumstances will not only survive, but thrive. Like Bob the stress toy, resilience isn't about avoiding being stretched, but about how quickly you can return to form. This book was written to make life's inevitable difficulties less gripping, intense, and lasting through practical tools and strategies. As Albert Einstein wisely noted, we shouldn't strive to be people of success, but people of value, to friends, family, clients, and community. That's true success. The golden nuggets throughout this book are meant to help you find that value and create more joy in your business and personal life. Don't postpone joy. It's available now through managing expectations, accepting yourself, and remaining flexible as life unfolds. When implementing these principles, remember the wisdom of the Italian saying, "You can't boil the ocean, but you can boil a pot of water." Don't try doing everything at once. Instead, review the concepts, identify your favorite golden nuggets, and rank your top three priorities. Then commit to doing just one thing today. As these practices become habits, gradually add more. Ask yourself each business day, "What's the one thing I can do to further my success for tomorrow?" Then do it. Remember, those on the top of the mountain didn't fall there. Discipline is the bridge between goals and accomplishments. By consistently applying these three magic secrets, you'll create a life where joy isn't just an occasional visitor, but a permanent resident.